I agree that Bill Frantz and his family are growing. When you look in the mirror, you have to agree that we've all grown.
Yes.
And then when you look outside, you know that there's a lot of people that still need to grow. And so invite people, tell them to come. There's good word coming forth here through good people, as you can already see this morning. And we give him the praise. We know he desires for that growth to be in us.
Yes.
He desires things from us. And no greater love hath any man than he lay his life down for a friend. Is Jesus your friend?
Yeah.
Jesus is your friend. He set the way. He laid the life down. And in these situations, especially when it deals with loved ones, we have to learn to lay our wants, our wishes, our life down for someone else.
Amen.
Death is not our enemy.
Right.
We lose that in translation, and I don't know how. Death is not our enemy. The last enemy is what we refer to, but my last enemy was taken care of when I died to Christ Jesus.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this time together with you. Take us where you are, Lord, through your word, through your teaching, through this mouth that is not qualified to teach your word, but is willing. And that's what we know is all it takes. So I stand before your people this morning as a vessel. Touch the needs, touch the questions, answer the questions, change lives today through what we've all sacrificed to do here this morning for you, for your kingdom, and for your honor and glory. Come forth with glory. Bring us forth as victors. And for that, we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Once again, don't forget the children. I always do. All right, we're going to go through another, take up your cross session. Once again, part one being our temple, our bodies, and the place we worship need to be clean. Number two, the cross removes the veil, flesh is the veil. Part three, praise is required, truth is required. Part four, your hands are positions of power, your feet are positions of stand, of belief. Together, they're positions of action. Part five is faith. Part six, which was last week, is seeing Jesus is more important than seeing. And all of those are very valuable. They're very good. You need to listen to them several more times. And today, I want to title the message, The Cross is Rest. Peace, joy. The cross is rest. One of the things I hope you're getting out of this is that the cross is not a scary thing, it's a good thing. The cross is not, that is not a representation of what happened. That is not a representation of what happened. It's a visual that we have to remind us of everything that took place when Jesus bore the stripes, died, was buried, and resurrected, which is exactly, and one day we'll do that one too, of what it means to bear your stripes and die and be buried and be resurrected. But that's not today. I don't know where we're going. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm enjoying it. Amen? Our base scripture is Matthew 10:38, which says, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Now, I know there's some tough things that happened with Jesus on the cross, and there's some tough things that happened in our life. But Jesus is the only one that completed the work. This scripture says, follow in the work. Don't try to go to the cross yourself. It's not going to work. It'll accomplish nothing. It's take up the work that Jesus has already accomplished and follow.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
All right. The cross is rest. What is rest? Rest is not an easy chair and a remote control. That may lead you into some type of rest, but that is not a rest. Okay? Rest is a place of joy. It's a place of serenity, calm, peace. It's a place of no worry. It's a position of seeing and knowing. And what you see and what you know is well. It's good. See, if when you've heard me say that the greatest pleasure in life, the greatest position in Christ Jesus, is laying down at night with a clear conscience. To me, that's the greatest thing in the world. That's when you enter into an instant sleep rest. But there's a lot of people on this earth that think that they cannot get away from worry. And there's a lot of people that cannot because they don't know Christ Jesus. But the same scripture that says you cast your cares upon Him can say cast your worries upon Him. They're the same word. And let Him do it for you. Which if you can find somebody to take your burden, it should give you rest. And if you still have the worry, you haven't learned to cast your burden. That make sense? We should just whack ourselves often with that piece of knowledge. If I'm fretting about something, if I'm stewing about something, then I must not be where Jesus wants me to be. I must not have done what Jesus asked me to do. Now, how many people are in there? That's there's times 10 is toes, and I stepped on all of them at one time. Is that not correct? Mine too. When we are worrying, we are not taking up our cross and following Jesus. We're not actually getting on that avenue that He made for us of success and peace and joy and life in Christ Jesus. We're not doing that. Instead, we think we're better managers of problems than He is. That's what worry is. You know that, don't you? It's what fret is that surely, maybe it's too big for Jesus, so I better handle some of it. Or maybe He doesn't know how to handle it good enough like I do. You know, in my business, whether it's people that are asking me questions or people telling me what to do, it always boils down to one thing. They think they know more than I do. They may. But I don't like being told that. And if I'm that way, I wonder how Jesus is. You know, one of the things, if we were really intimate with Christ Jesus once in a while, He might say, I didn't ask you. We need to hear that more often.
Yes.
You need to ask me what to do, not what to tell me to do. All right? I said the other day, I was listening to one of those CDs, and I said, the only arguments that come out of a household are when two people are talking. If one would shut up, then we'd be in a fight. And I thought, Stan, you're brilliant. Now you need to carry that into when you walk into the presence of the Lord. There couldn't be any fights, arguments, or worries if there was only one person talking, and that being my husband, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Now, I just get to listen then and obey, which is prevalent in the Scripture. Listen and obey. We all need to learn better where that place of rest that God wants us to be in is. If a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, what does a worrisome heart do? Dies early. Come on. We always blame death to be a physical defect. You know that? When in many cases it's a pure mental happening. And I know we don't like to think about that but it's true. Now I know there are some deaths from physical defects, and I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if you go back and find out, do you know what cancer is? If you take it down to its lowest point, you know what cancer is? That's one of the ways I've said it, cells out of control. But here's what it comes from. The root of it is an irritant. That's all it is. There's an irritant, and cells react to that irritant and begin to overreact, unlike us. And it leads to a tumor that goes out of control of some type, and literally strangles the life out of you, which is the exact definition of worry. It's something that's out of control in your life that if left alone will literally strangle the life out of you. That's why Jesus went to the cross for sickness and disease. Now, let me give you a couple of examples. A couple of things have happened in my life to lead me in this direction. In the last, I don't know how many days, Connie's kind of stayed away from the action part of, or the physical part of the of our business, and hidden in the house, or somewhere. She tells me how busy she is. I'll not call her a liar. She doesn't lie. But I could tell she's going through a place of turmoil. Anybody that's been around her could also tell that. She was tired, and she just wanted to escape. She used crazy words like retire. Crazy word. I just want to go somewhere. Can I ask you something? When you go somewhere, where are you going to that's not where you're at?
Amen.
Right? You know, I said this before. One of the things she said one time, we'd go to Cozumel, we'd go scuba diving and enjoy the place. She'd come back and she said, we need to buy a piece of property there and maybe one day move there. No. Well, why? Because then it won't be a vacation. Then we'll say, let's look for a reason to come to Denver. Right? Because we have a mindset that you have to go somewhere to enter into rest. Nowhere in the Bible is that taught. Come on. You remember my little famous quote from 6 days, seven nights? It's a good place to tie it in. What?
You didn't bring it, it's not here.
That's right. Maybe they're looking for romance. It's an island, babe. If you didn't bring it, it ain't going to get here. It's a good thing to say about rest and peace and joy. Where you are, you have to bring it in. You didn't buy it with your house. Did you know that? Look at the disclosure thing. Nowhere in there says we're leaving our peace. We're leaving our joy. You have to bring it in. You have to move it in and you have to keep it there. No matter where you are. She said, I'm tired. I want to get out. Here's what I told her. One of the problems she had was that she was not finding the peace and the joy being with me. Sounds egotistical, doesn't it? Well, what does Jesus tell you? It's exactly right, the same thing. The reason two people marry and stay together is so they can enjoy each other. And that means when she's with me, she should be in joy. Spell it different, means the same. She was letting those cares of this world take the place of the love that was in the house. And she quickly realized that. That's a real simple thing, but it's something you have to correct. Bob Romero's been doing some work with us. And I heard some of his friends say, Bob, you look tired. I heard that from several different people. And he said, yeah, but it's a good tired. I heard him say that multiple times. It's a good tired. What does that mean? What's a good tired? That's right. Being totally satisfied with what you've accomplished and where you are, which is rest, even if you look tired. Physical work never killed anybody. Never killed anybody. Y'all ever heard that? Well, then you haven't been raised on the farm like I was. I heard it a lot. Work will never kill anybody. They were right. They were right. Both of these instances, or both of these situations, led me to the Word this week. So why don't we study the Word? The first question I would ask you is, where is our rest? In Jesus, right? Which he said where we are is the same answer. If we're not in Christ Jesus, we're not going to be in any kind of rest. We're going to be out protesting something, doing something, changing something, for all the wrong reasons. So it's not where we're at, it's in who we are.
Yes.
Right. In other words, in the middle of a war, I could be at rest.
That's right.
In the middle of peace, I can be at rest.
Yep.
You know how many people aren't at rest when they're in peace? There's two good examples right there. If they have a moment of calm, it's only in the eye of the storm. Because on all sides around, there's things I got to squirrel. I don't know if you know this or not, but the work's going to come whether you want it to or not. You don't have to think up things. Are you called? Is anybody in this room called?
Yes. Yes.
Then you're called to something.
Right.
You're not to stand and do the calling. It'll get you. Just relax. It'll be there. What is the noise? Is that a movie or something? Oh, okay. I thought there was a dog trapped or something. All righty. In Exodus chapter 34, I'm going to read this to you. Exodus chapter 34, verse 21. Here's a command from God. It really wasn't bothering me that much. I was just trying to figure out what it was. That's what was bothering me. 34:21. Y'all are very familiar with this, but I want to make sure you understand what it's saying. 6 days you shall work. There goes the 5-day work week, by the way. 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Now this is in the law. But the seventh day was called the Sabbath. Right? And then we later find out that there's a man with the name of Sabbath, and his name is Jesus. Enter into my rest. Isn't that what God says? So we find here that you're going to work. By the way, do you know that somebody doesn't work doesn't need rest? But the strange part is when you don't work, it seems like you need more rest. You ever notice that? Yeah, it feels like when you rest a lot, like you have 3 or 4 days and there's nothing to do, there's something in you that's doing more work, stewing about it. That's an old country term, stewing about it. that it makes you tired. But if you just go out and rest, I mean go out and work, then it's a good tired. Right? 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Jesus is the Sabbath, or our rest, every day since we're in the New Testament. We're not going to have any rest unless we enter into Him. What does enter into Him mean? That means when you catch yourself stewing about something, then you say, self, don't be dumb. Cast your cares upon Him.
Right.
And He'll care for you.
Amen.
Now let me walk that out for you just a little bit like you may not like. If you got a boss, you don't tell him what to do. He's going to be faithful to tell you what to do. Right? Why? Because it's profitable to him. Correct? It's profitable to him to keep you busy. So don't think that just going into Christ Jesus is going to be a chaise lounge or a hammock between two shady trees. The reason we don't have 10,000 people in the church is because my gospel is based on the Bible that says, I want something out of you. The loosey-goosey gospel is Jesus came to give you something. So we have a welfare state in Christianity. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that. All right. So we find out that our rest is in the Sabbath of Christ Jesus. Let me read you another one. Psalm 16, verse 9. Psalm 16, verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. My flesh also will rest in hope. You wanted me to tell you the people that are having the hardest life in the world? The ones with no hope.
Right.
Who is that? Well, that's an awful lot of people if you'll analyze it. If your hope is in a retirement fund, a lot of that went away. All of a sudden, there wasn't retirement funds anymore. If your hope was in a doctor, you go to the doctor, Linda France, and you find out doctors can kill you.
Right.
Linda would have been a whole lot better sitting at home. I mean, they butchered her up bad when she went to the hospital. That doesn't mean you don't go to the hospitals when you need to. That means you better know where your hope is.
Amen.
Is my heart glad? Why is it not glad? If my heart is not glad, why is it not glad? Well, because I've lost sight of the hope. So once again, I'm going to tell you that our hope is a person. What he's done, the battles he's won, and the love that he has for us right this moment. Jesus is our hope. Therefore, our rest, he's our rest in time of labor. You know why I said it that way? Because when there's no labor, you don't need rest. So he's our rest in time of labor. Or let me put it another way. I'm full of the most joy and rest when I've done a good work for him. That make sense? He is the reason that we work or we toil. Let me say it another way. If you're worrying about something or working on something or stewing about something that's not giving glory to God, you're doing the wrong thing. Does that make sense? Because it wasn't an assignment from your Lord. It was your assignment taken on by you. Now, everybody in here is guilty. Y'all just need to get in this thing and be happy that we're getting a little bit. Some of us yesterday, some of us today, some of us day before. Doesn't make any difference. We all get the little worries about us. Little fears. What if? You know? Our biggest job is to keep our hearts glad in Christ Jesus. Did you know that? You know that, but I'm going to remind you anyway. Our biggest job is to keep our hearts glad. There's not a harder job in the world. Well, there is. Keeping somebody else's heart glad is pretty tough. But it's easier if I've got my heart glad.
Yes.
How do I keep my heart glad? Come on, you're too slow. That means you're out of practice. How about the promises of God? Do you know any of them?
Yep.
Well, they're all yes and amen in Christ Jesus, right?
Right.
So if I know some promises, then I've got to let them come out of my mouth when I know that my heart's not glad.
Amen.
Or my heart's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And then when it gets worse, the promises of God have a harder time coming out. So it's just kind of that snowball effect. Catch it early. Psalms 37. Psalms chapter 37, verse 7 through 9. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. I'm not looking at anybody except me. Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of Him who prospers in His ways. Don't look across the way and say, I'm working as hard as Him. How come He's got more than I do? Don't worry about the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Now, what are we hearing here? We're hearing that all evil is not going to go away because you get serious about God. That's what we're saying, right? And some of the most vile people may be the wealthiest. It's not your concern. Because remember, it all belongs to God. He'll end up with all in the end.
That's right.
Cease from anger. That's a hard one. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. Same word as stew. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Hey, wives, you're important in the house in case anybody told you you weren't. See, we're a team. We've got to both keep each other's heart glad. But you still got to do your part. Right? Don't fret. For evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. So, what's the hope that you have?
Inheritance.
That's a good one. Inheritance. Well, I don't want to have to wait. Well, don't fret. Don't be anxious. God never said that the only time you're going to get good things is after you die.
Right.
He never said that. That was made up by somebody that can't read the Bible very well. Are you going to have struggles? That's what's really, this is basically approaching our struggles. Are we going to have struggles? Yes. What do? We rest in Jesus in our struggles. Then they don't seem like all that big a struggle. Therefore, our struggles turn to joy. Did you ever have a real problem? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. I get into real problems once in a while. And every once in a while, the Holy Spirit will just make me laugh at them. Because all of a sudden, He makes me see how silly they are. And so I got to laugh. So you can laugh in a struggle in Christ Jesus, but you can never laugh in a struggle.
Right.
It's got to be a struggle in Christ Jesus. How does it get in Christ Jesus? You put it there.
Amen.
It was your struggle and you said, I give it to you, Lord. Now you can laugh. Well, you know what? We're so silly. We don't think that when we think this. When Jesus said, cast all of your cares on me, He didn't mean all of them. I can't give Him the crud. Come on.
Yeah.
All of this is passed through. He's not interested in a flat tire. Come on. He's not interested in a mechanical problem in the vehicle or in the house. So what do? We instantly put them on us.
Right.
That doesn't mean you turn your back on a flat tire. I'm not saying that. But first, if you will place them in Christ Jesus, then it can be a joy.
Yeah.
But if you have a flat tire, it's a pain. Can you imagine? Can't you picture Jesus having a flat tire? Well, if you're in Christ Jesus and you have one, He has one if you'll allow Him to.
Amen.
The difference is He has access to all remedy.
Yes.
And you don't. Now, that's a silly little thing. It's so silly that most of the time I get out and change and fix a flat tire and not even consult Jesus. And that's what's silly. He said, all of your cares on Him. Now, come on. I know we're not there yet. We're working on it, but we're not there yet. All of our cares. Now, the other thing is we need not worry about others. Our problem is not others. The only time our problem is others is when we're in Christ Jesus and He says, it's your problem. That's called ministry time. And when He does, by the way, guys, listen to me. When He puts a burden of a person on your heart, you've already got the promise that you are more than enough.
Right.
So it's really not a problem. Laugh at it. Say, oh boy, I'm anxious to see how good this is going to turn out. Not how it's going to turn out.
Amen.
One little word makes a difference between the struggle and the joy. What our main concern is keeping our hearts at rest. You know what our cross is? See, Jesus just turned the whole thing upside down. We were locked into a curse. Remember? The cross itself, His actions, flipped it to a blessing. Right?
Yeah.
Changed it, miraculously changed it to a blessing. So our cross, when we pick up our cross and follow Him, it's a cross of joy and pleasure. Not to be afraid of. Let me read you. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. And I want you to read this carefully with me, because there's some hidden treasure right here. But the way you're going to get it is you've got to listen like a baby. That's what the Scripture says here. Matthew 11, 25 through 30. And I'm going to break these down in just a minute, so don't think you're going to miss anything. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. So if we read that Scripture, what should we desire to be, the wise and prudent or the babes?
The babes.
Oh. Even so, Father, for it so seemed good in Your sight. All things have been delivered to Me by My Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. Come to me, all you, who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. What a scripture to follow up rest with. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, did that sound like a little bit of double-mindedness there? Now, we know since Jesus said it, it couldn't be. I just said, open your mind. Did it sound a little crazy? Come on, let's break down the verses. Verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered. And that time means there was a lot of problems. The disciples were asking questions about things that they thought should have happened. Kind of like you and I. Why don't you wipe them off the face of the earth? Why don't you change it? You have the power. You know you do. And Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You see how Jesus, the teacher, the rabbi, is channeling the focus, taking it off of the people. What did he say? He said, you're Lord of heaven and earth. What did he really say? Those people aren't. Those problems aren't. Those situations aren't. Your problems aren't. Your situations aren't. God the Father is Lord of heaven and earth no matter what. That you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to the babes. Now, if we're going to be at rest, did you ever watch a baby? Did you ever see a baby lay awake and worry at night? Did you ever see him have to take digestion pills because he's all upset? If you want to rest in all situations, we become babes in Christ Jesus. As God, as Jesus was saying here, we become totally dependent upon Him and the Father. What does that mean? Well, let me say it another way, which I like to think of more. When we become totally a babe in Christ Jesus, we get bulletproof to the world. That scripture does not leave us innocent. It leaves us informed. It makes us bulletproof to the world. What does that mean? That means that I don't have envy. I don't have strife because of envy. And I don't look at my life compared to somebody else's life. Now that'll kill you quicker than anything. If you try to make your life fit someone else's life, that'll kill you quick. Because I tell you, Christ Jesus gave you a life independent of anybody else. And He's going to have you live it independent of anybody else. Because of that position in Christ Jesus, the Father reveals hidden truths and wisdom to us. Isn't that what that scripture says? He reveals hidden truths and wisdom to us. But what does it say about the wise and prudent? We're seeing joy and peace out of hidden truths. Truths are hidden from the so-called wise and prudent, and they see no peace. I mean, I'm telling you, it was brought home to me when I went back to Texas this last time and hung around with my kinfolks for a while that are really, really doing well. Woo! And I saw frothing at the mouth and lawsuits and hate and have so much they don't know what to do with and guarding it so nobody else gets it. I always worry that somebody else is going to get what I can't find enough time to use anyway because I'm too busy working, getting more so I can have more so that I can worry more about what I got to hold on to. No joy. No joy in the camp. What are you saying, Stan? I'm saying that I don't want that. If that's what it takes to be so-called well-off in the world, then I'll just be satisfied with the well-off in Christ Jesus. And if you think that's less, you're wrong. But I still want to say that. Verse 26. Jesus said, even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. What is Jesus saying? He's covering a territory here. Not just one little statement. He's covering a territory. Do you understand that Jesus is saying, God, if it's all right in your sight for the evil to have some wealth and power and influence, I'm in agreement. Come on. He's saying, if it's good in your sight, Lord, that we have to become as babes to be the wise of the world, so be it. Why? Because our flesh wants to say, there's a wealthy man. If I can get him saved, then he'll be a power for the kingdom. God may know something you don't know. He may be using that person in a position and in a work that you can't do. I wanted to be careful how I phrase that. But that you can't do. Y'all think of some stories in the Bible that will back that up. And so we trust that God is always good. No, you missed it. Okay. Who is the Father or the Lord of the heaven and the earth? God is. Isn't that what Jesus just said? So does that mean that everything that's going on, God has given permission for it to happen? Come on. God didn't come out quite, that amen didn't come out quite so quick. Because it is a struggle. In our flesh, it's a struggle to say that. Because we know some things that we don't think are good, so are we saying God did it? I didn't say that. I said, did He give permission for it to happen? Was it good when Sodom and Gomorrah, those other three or four cities that were around there, when they turned into ashes, was that good?
Yes.
Well, when's the last time you saw somebody burn up, you say that's good? Or you just want to read about that one story and say it could never happen again? Now, see how quiet it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quiet. I didn't say God wanted bad to happen. I said God can turn what is meant for bad to good, but we have to give Him a chance.
Yes.
We have to let Him work it out. Is Linda being sick for 6 or 7 weeks good? You all will say no. You all just reverted back to your infantile situation. Because what we just said was it is good
in
God.
Amen.
We talked about that last week. You remember when I said that God has to deal with the living and the dead? Even if God says it's time for Linda to come home, He still has to be patient and work with the living.
That's right.
While we're condemning His work, it is still His work.
That's right.
We need to be joyful in all things. We don't need to understand all things. We just need to be joyful in all things.
Amen.
It's part of the cross we're supposed to take up. The reason we can be full of joy, peace, and rest, it is good in God's sight. In our sight, it is good in God. The good position is given by God only to His. Are you hearing me? I'm going to read it to you again. The good position is given by God only to His because of the power that rests, that is not, I'll say this correctly, because of the power that rest gives us. Do you know rest gives you power?
Right.
So that I'm going to add another little flavor in this situation. The only way that you're going to walk in power and authority is for you to get some rest in Christ Jesus.
Man.
If you don't rest in Christ Jesus, you will never walk with power and authority. Why? Because if you had any, you couldn't use it. If you had any power and authority, you couldn't use it. You're too tired. You're too worried. You're too fretting. You're too stewing.
Amen.
You haven't seen the end yet. People that have not read the back of the book, have not seen the end, have not seen what the cross brought us, can never have rest. Let me ask you something. If 3/4 of the world vaporizes tomorrow, does it change your position in Christ Jesus? So bad can't make you afraid, right? Is that what you're telling me? Well, then I want to see you act it. I don't want to see you tell me that in church. Why are you worried if you already know you win? You've won. Why would you fret? If you know the fretter's already fretted for you. Well, isn't that what Jesus was? Is our Redeemer. from the curse. He went to the cross and He fretted for us. He worried for us. He pained for us. He sicked for us. He sinned for us. Didn't it say He took our sins? So, what's left? Rest. Rest. I answered for you. See, y'all don't want to give up that worry. I can see that right now. Y'all don't want to give it up. You want to keep a little hold on it. I don't know. Rest gives you power. Remember that. Verse 27. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. Here's a word we don't really believe. All things. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. Oh, here's the answer. And the one to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. Now, I don't know. I don't know that I have a total understanding of this. But that nearly sounds like that the Father is not revealed to everyone. I wonder why. Okay. Here's part of your answer. No one comes to the Father except through the Son. Right? So those people that are trying to go straight to the Father without Christ Jesus, God the Father will never be revealed to them, according to what that Scripture says. That would include any Old Testament Christian, which is an oxymoron. There's no such thing as an Old Testament Christian. But you know what I'm trying to say. Just remember that. Remember that. Anybody, and by the way, you'll never get to the Father through Mary. God will never be revealed to the child through Mary. It's only through the Son. Either that, or that's not Jesus, and it's a lie. Y'all choose. I feel very privileged in the fact that over the few last number of years, I believe that the Father has been revealed to me. The cool part is it doesn't take away from Jesus. It doesn't take away from Jesus at all. But as I look at Jesus, if you walked into a room where Jesus was at, you'd see His eyes pointed to the Father. If you heard Him speaking, all glory would be going to the Father. Right? Now you just have to figure out why. That's when the Son reveals the Father. Why He's doing that. That's another subject. Let's move on. The secrets of power and rest begin with the relationship between the Father and Jesus. Did you hear what I said there? Our secrets of power and rest lie in the relationship between Jesus and the Father. A good place to look is the cross. Nobody ever had any bigger worry or problem on the face of the earth than Jesus when He was facing the cross. But where did His peace and His rest and His joy lie? In God the Father. No better example on the face of the earth. Even when His flesh cried out, "Let this cup pass from me," He instantly snapped His heels and said, "But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." There's where His power and His strength and His rest was. That's why He was able to accomplish this. No man could have accomplished this without a relationship with the Father.
Right.
Now, you need to understand that in your life also. Jesus wants you to understand that. The secrets of a power and a rest begin with a relationship between the Father and Jesus. It is secret because it contains the power of the universe. Now listen to me carefully. It is secret because it contains the power of the universe and will not be revealed to those that are not part of the kingdom. You know why the devil doesn't have the power of the universe? He didn't get it. He couldn't go through Christ Jesus, so the secret was not revealed. He was too busy wanting his own way, doing his own thing, he could not have the secret of God the Father's universe revealed to him. Therefore, he only walks in intimidation and mockery. He cannot work in power and authority and peace. This relationship, this power and rest, will be revealed to those that love God and are called to His purpose. Now, I'm going to say it again. You cannot love God without first loving Jesus. Don't try to get to C without going through A and B. Won't work. This power and rest will only be revealed through Christ Jesus, not through Muhammad, not through Joseph Smith, not through the Pope. Pope never was Jesus, never will be. I don't care if they call him a saint. He can't get you there. Not even through Mary. Verse 28. Here's your solution, your answer. Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Who does that leave out? Anybody in here ever been under labor, heavy laden?
Yeah.
Watch out for lightning. Now let me tell you something. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What is the first statement that has to be made here by you to enter into rest? Oh, how about that? I have a worry. I have a fret. I have a stew. I have a concern. And all the other words we start using to hide what we're really saying. We have to admit that's me. If we want rest, we first have to say, I'm not in rest and I need some. Isn't that simple? Didn't he just say you got to become his babes?
Yeah.
All right, let's get there. You must recognize that you need rest. To need rest, you must first have worked or struggled. I didn't say legitimately, I just said you must have done it. We also must know that the sweet vacation spot is Jesus, not recluse. You know how you get me on vacation? You talk about it. And I'll get dressed and play the part before we ever get there. What does that mean? That means you make my mind move somewhere else. Then my heart follows. Right?
Right.
Well, then why can't I learn that my house is a vacation? Or the spot where Jesus is my vacation? If it's in my work, if it's in my play, it's never in my struggle because I don't have one.
Right.
If it's my struggle, then you do it by yourself because I'm not coming with you. You can't hide from your worries. You can't go to sleep and hide from your worries. You just tell them to get. You give them to Christ Jesus, and now they're not yours. So now what's your excuse? We also know that in Jesus there's rest. How many are resting right now? How many of you are resting right now? You have a worry in the world. I've got a bad case of the don't cares because you're already being cared for. You know Jesus doesn't need you to care if you're being cared for. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now the cross. What in the world would Jesus be talking about, his yoke and his burden, if it weren't for the cross? Right? Now, come on. You know what? When we read this scripture, here's what we say. Oh, it's that assignment that Jesus is going to give me. No. You see, if you've already taken up the cross and you're following Him, that's the only yoke that you're yoked with. It's the only burden that you're carrying. What is the burden? to make sure I don't carry a burden.
Right.
Now, come on, I'm telling you the truth. The hardest burden we have is to make sure we don't take on another burden. Yeah. The cross is the only thing I need to carry. And it don't have to be 500 pounds. It can be right here, floating, Jesus Christ, and everything that He accomplished for me. Take that yoke and learn. How are you going to learn? The only way you and I are ever going to learn is at our having our burden of being the cross and nothing else. Because if we're just worrying, then all we're going to learn to do is be a good worrier. Right? Not a warrior, a worrier. Take the yoke, the harness, the load of the cross of Jesus. Learn from me, I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Where's rest for your souls? In the cross, in Christ Jesus on the cross, or His cross, the burden that we bear. We must learn that the cross, the call of Jesus from the Father, we must receive to learn rest and power. I'm saying this 411 different ways in the same simple thing over and over. I just want you to understand. This is so simple. I just said, unless you become as babes, you won't understand. And so I'm just going to treat you like a baby. A baby learns by you saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over. We must know that whatever God does through us is not us, but the Father. Y'all should have said amen. But you didn't want to give up the glory. We must know that whatever God does through us is not us, but it's the Father. To become a God is too much for us. All right, those people that really like to worry, I'm down on you now. To become a God is too much, and it'll destroy you. Rest is in fulfilling your call or taking up our cross and following Jesus. That's where rest is. Verse 30. I need to hurry. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, if Jesus would have just been smart enough here to write this, my yoke is beautiful. It's a robe. And my burden is light, but it's a lot of gold in your pocket. Then we'd have listened better. Boy, we'd have snapped up this one fast. Which is what you're finding on television right now. That your yoke and your burden is what to do with all the money that God's given you. Listen, turn it on, you'll hear it. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. How can a yoke? Y'all know what a yoke is? It's not something that makes you laugh. It's a collar you put on with straps tied to it so you can hunker down and pull against. That's a yoke. Or if you're just a beast of burden, I'll say that correct, it's a load on your back. What's Jesus saying? Mine's easy and light. Don't fret. Don't worry. That's encouraging, people. It's not scary. For those of you that are still fearful of the cross and the call of Jesus, here's the answer. If you believe. It is easy or restful. It is light, not heavy. So those things that are full of turmoil and weight, they are not Jesus and His cross.
That's right.
When we were looking for a building, we did our part. And others around me wanted me to worry. I don't know who that'd be. What's the use to worry? Doesn't give you one more ounce of strength.
Right.
Doesn't add one more dollar in your pocket. And for those of us that aren't 6'4", it doesn't make us 1 inch taller. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
So we told a real estate agent, hey, we're supposed to have it, we'll have it. And if we're not, we're not. It's the way it is. What am I saying? I don't want to worry with you. If you're going to worry, you stay away from me. I'm not going to worry about it. You hear me? Turmoil and heavy burden is not in the cross. It's already been taken care of by the cross. The thing that you're going to pick up has already been taken care of.
Yeah.
Okay, let me say it another way. Let me get a better picture. If you can picture the cross, as every bad thing and every heavy thing and every worrisome thing on the face of the earth was piled on that cross, and then it was pulled down and destroyed. Jesus gets up. If that same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, okay? He reestablishes the cross. Now it's clean and it's pure and it's light. And he says, and it's full of success, power, and authority. Then he says, now take this cross. I've cleaned it up for you. That's good. I like that. How many of you know that God is love?
Yes, sir.
So the God that wrote these scriptures to you, all He wants is for you to rest in Him because He loves you so much. Isn't that what we're really saying here?
Yep.
He provided every way in the world to give you a good life that does not include a bunch of worry and pain.
Yes.
And He did that because He loved. You got it? So what our life should be full of is the response to love, which is love, by the way. What is the response to love? Love. God is love. Poured out Himself through Christ Jesus on us. What is our response? That's why the burden is easy and light. It's just that simple. And here's what love provides. Rest and joy and confidence and peace and health and prosperity. And it's pointed to many times in many different directions in the Bible. And all we're told to do is take up our cross, which is a gift from God our Father through Christ Jesus, and follow Him. It will cause our life to be easy and light, full of rest and peace and joy. And I want to be there more than where I am right now.
Amen.
Is that where we really are? I want to be there more than I want to be here, because I still carry some worries, foolishly and full of disobedience, but we still do it. So we're working on that, right? Be encouraged. Matthew 10:38, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. How would you like it if Jesus walked in this room and said, because of worry or because of this or that or the other, you're not worthy of me? It'd be devastating, wouldn't it? Well, that's where I want us to be. That's where I want us to look. That's where I want us to think about all the time, is stop pleasing ourselves. There is no danger in this, guys. Here's the serious part. There is no danger in stop pleasing ourselves, because then we're pleasing the Father. And that's where all benefit comes from.
That's right.
It's where all rest and power comes from.
Yes.
Stop trying to take care of your life, because those that don't give up their life never get life. That's what the Scripture says.
That's right.
Give your life to Him without being afraid. There's a rough one. You mean I got to? Yeah, you got to. It's real simple. Just say, I give up. I've seen the way I did it. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And say, now, God, how about the way you want it to be? Now, that is your burden. That is your yoke. Does it seem so tough? Come on. Babe would say no. The wise and the prudent would say yes. That's too much. Jesus loved us so much that He gave His life. God the Father loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Then all He asks you is give His life, your life back to Him. That's all it is. How do I do that? Next time I start worrying, I say, oh God, that's me taking my life back. I repent and turn from it.
Yes.
Well, that's complicated, isn't it? I need to become more like a baby. Keep it simple, stupid. So that I can be smart. All right. Y'all receive this word?
Amen.
You receive it in and through Christ Jesus?
Amen.
Then it'll change your life if you do that.
Yes.
Why? Because you did it, Stan? No. Because I mostly quoted Scripture to you. Hallelujah. All hearts clear? Any problems need to be taken care of? Now's a good time. Bow your head and say, I got a problem here. It's yours, God.
Amen.
I'm yours. This is the good part about true religion. It's simple. If a wicked way or a wrong way has been revealed in our lives today, we turn from that. That's how simple it is. We become more righteous and more holy every day that comes around.
Amen.
Therefore, we lead others into righteousness and holiness. All right. Don't forget our little fellowship afterwards. Then, if you want to come be with us for our true lunch, which I'm really hungry for, then feel free to come. You don't have to bring anything. Just come. Father, we love you right now. Keep us from being religious. Keep us from our flesh being the veil that keeps us out of the Holy of Holies. Teach us your way. Seal this word in our hearts, Lord, but seal it with that secret understanding that only you can do, Holy Spirit. Seal it in our hearts and our minds. Cause us to throw off this bondage of worry and fret and concern and trade it in for a true robe of righteousness so that we can rest in you, so that that power that you want us to have can be revealed without being, without having that taint of worry and concern. Let us be in you. Live, move, and have our being in you, Lord. Let everything we've done, said, or thought here today be for your honor and for your glory and for the furtherment of your kingdom. And for that we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed.